Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. Early jazz trumpeter Jabbo Smith deserves recognition for his searing trumpet technique, songwriting and singing, and because he was the only horn player who came even close to the excitement and power of Louis Armstrong in the 1920s. The rediscovery of Jabbo Smith's music in the 1970s and his rescue from obscurity brought him a deserved place in the pantheon of early jazz pioneers. This is Jazz Battle, one of Jabbo's best records and original compositions. One of Jabbo Smith's most energetic tunes, Jazz Battle. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for this second part of Rediscovering Jabbo Smith on Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz Old and New. Later this hour, I'll bring you a short micro-documentary on the life and music of this nearly forgotten jazz pioneer. We'll also be hearing some first-rate modern recordings of Jabbo's tunes by some of the world's best traditional jazz musicians. Jabbo Smith was briefly a competitor to Louis Armstrong in the late 1920s. He also played piano, all the brass instruments, sang, and composed probably some 200 tunes. During his short stardom, he worked or recorded with Fats Waller, James P. Johnson, Duke Ellington, and Louis Armstrong. But he gradually fell into obscurity during the 1930s, eventually leaving the music business altogether until his glorious comeback in the late 1970s. The most impressive aspect of Jabbo's trumpet style is his searing bursts of notes and rapid-fire runs that influenced Roy Eldridge and presaged the bop style of Dizzy Gillespie. Here's a couple of fine tunes written by Jabbo Smith from his 1929 Rhythm Aces records. He's playing trumpet and singing on I Got the Stinger, followed by his Little Willie Blues. Thank you.
master singing, baby, don't ring my thing so rough. Now when a ringer rings my singer sings a ringer, and it's just too bad. Oh, it never had nobody to put that thing on me. But man, she took me through that first, second, and third degree. I said that I got the singer, but my baby's got the ringer, and she rings my singer twice.
Jabbo Smith from his landmark Rhythm Aces recordings of 1929, Little Willie Blues, and I Got the Stinger, and like almost all the tunes heard this hour, written by Jabbo. This is the award-winning Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for being with me for this hour, rediscovering the life and music of a remarkable but overlooked jazz talent. Here's a sort of mini-documentary sketching out Jabbo's story. You might wonder how Jabbo got his name. Well, the poor guy was originally named Gladys Smith after a cousin Gladys born a few days earlier. His mother, a struggling single parent who couldn't properly care for him, sent Gladys to an orphanage at age 6, and it was there that friends nicknamed him Jabbo after an ugly Indian in a silent Western film. Jabbo was raised the next 10 years of his life at the Jenkins Orphanage in Charleston, South Carolina. It was among the largest and most successful in the South. During the 4.5 decades from its founding in the 1890s, some 5,000 children passed through its ranks. And while the rules and training were strict, 6 a.m. prayers and whippings for misbehavior, it did provide a thorough musical education for youngsters like Jabbo. Its touring bands, playing ragtime, military marches, light classical, sacred and popular music, were a major source of its income. Jenkins was at one time known as the Jazz Nursery because so many musicians received their basic musical education there, among them trumpeter Cat Anderson of Ellington fame, trombonist Geechee Fields, clarinet player Peanuts Hucko, and drummer Tommy Benford. By the time Jabbo left in 1925, it had 5 touring bands that provided publicity and income, and for guys like Jabbo, musical training and connections to the music business. Jabbo graduated himself, as you put it, early from the orphanage by running away at about age 15 or 16. He was soon working in Charlie Johnson's Paradise Orchestra, a top-notch band then playing both Atlantic City and Harlem hotspot Ed Small's Paradise. Jabbo doubled on trombone in a very good band of skilled pros like trumpeter Sidney DeParis and saxist Benny Waters and Benny Carter. But Jabbo was young and cocky. He demanded from Johnson the highest pay in the band. He was undisciplined, chased women, and showed up late for jobs. Shortly after Charlie Johnson's 2nd record date, Jabbo blew off a gig, badly upset Johnson, and was fired. Next came Jabbo's brief encounter with Duke Ellington. Bubber Miley, Ellington's first chair trumpeter and a plunger mute specialist, was sick. Duke hired Jabbo for a recording session. Even though Jabbo's own horn was stolen the night before the session, he acquitted himself well, playing on an unfamiliar horn with what was actually the wrong mouthpiece for him. Featured on Bubber's specialty, Black and Tan Fantasy, Jabbo was given 3 solos on the record. Duke was impressed and offered him a job at the Cotton Club for $90 a week. But as Jabbo later said, quote, "By that time, everybody claimed I was the best in New York, and I was getting $150 a week." So Jabbo foolishly blew off Duke in his Cotton Club gig. It was 1927, and Jabbo was young. He was partying, had talent, and a reputation. He was hired for the orchestra of the hot musical revue Keep Shufflin'. There, he's working with the show's creators, Fats Waller and James P. Johnson. In early 1928, Jabbo was part of a quartet from Shufflin' Along, invited to record a couple of tunes from the show for Victor Records. It was a one-of-a-kind group with James P. Johnson piano and Fats Waller on the Camden Studio huge pipe organ that he loved so well. Jabbo was traveling with Keep Shufflin' when it closed in Chicago in late 1928, and he decided to stay there. In Chicago, he sat in with Satchmo, and they even talked about teaming up, though nothing came of it. Soon, Louis left town to tour, and opportunities opened up all over town for Jabbo. He became house trumpeter at Sunset Cafe. He was hired by band leaders Erskine Tate and Charles Elgar, who had featured Louis. And he was in demand to play with other headliners like Tiny Parham and Earl Hines. In 1929, Jabbo made his famous Rhythm Aces records, modeled on Louis' Hot Five, and was enjoying his greatest success. He even had an outstanding but short-lived band of his own that never made records. It had top-notch musicians, including bassist Milt Hinton. Hinton later recalled Jabbo fondly, saying that he was on a par with Louie. He was just as exciting, although he wasn't playing the same kind of thing. By all accounts, it was a good band, with Scoop's Carry on reeds, and Casino Simpson, a first-rate pianist and terrific arranger, writing most of that band's stuff. Casino Simpson was a weird cat. He was fanatical about piano. He'd play incessantly all day and night, named all his tunes after soul foods. And on the bandstand, he had a disgusting habit. He'd smoke a cigar down to the stub, then put it in his mouth and chew on the butt for 15 or 20 minutes before spitting out what was left. And he went insane a few years later. But once again, Jabbo's bad habits caught up with him. Milt Hinton said that he goofed. We played the second season with Cass Simpson as leader. Sometime in the early 1930s, Jabbo moved to Milwaukee, where he ended up living the rest of his life. Milt Hinton said of Smith's declining career, quote, "His attitude hurt him. He had delusions of grandeur. He was a nice-looking guy, and he'd always get mixed up with women. If he made enough for drinks and chicks in any small town like Des Moines or Milwaukee, that would suffice," unquote. Jabbo was largely out of the limelight in the 1930s and 40s, although he did work with Sammy Price and Sidney Bechet. With Claude Hopkins, he recorded and toured extensively. But Jabbo wasn't the star anymore. By the 1950s, Jabbo had taken a full-time job in Milwaukee with Avis, the car rental company, and had a family. He still played, though, wrote music, and seemed to hope for some kind of professional comeback. In the mid-1960s, record collectors tracked Jabbo down to ask him about reissuing the Rhythm Aces records. People who had thought Jabbo dead began to hear of him again. In 1968, Gunther Schuller dedicated 5 pages of his landmark book, Early Jazz, to Jabbo's greatness, calling him a musician's musician with a vivid imagination, formidable range, and endurance comparable to Satchmo. After 20 years in the wilderness, things were looking up for Jabbo. Articles, interviews, reviews, and discographies appeared in a dozen prestigious publications, including Downbeat, The New York Times, Cadence, and The New Yorker magazine. So in the late 1970s, Jabbo came out of retirement.
Hey, Jabbo Smith.
Over the next decade, he was invited to jazz festivals in Brussels, Breda, Berlin, The Hague, Monte Carlo, New York, and was playing professionally again. In 1979 came the high point. He was featured in a vaudeville jazz musical show called One Mo' Time, singing and blowing his own new and original tunes. The One Mo' Time show ran 2 years in New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. One reviewer declared that, "The real star of the show is Jabbo Smith. The moment he takes the stage, we feel something of the elegance, sexiness, good humor, and authority which were the hallmarks of the black vaudeville entertainers of those years." Jabbo was back on top.
Somebody gonna make me feel like,
After his rediscovery and comeback, quite a few of Jabbo Smith's tunes became popular with traditional jazz bands and were recorded in the modern era. In this next set is Ready Hokum, written by Banjo Ikey Robinson for the Rhythm Aces Sessions. It's played by Chicago's original Salty Dogs from their CD tribute to Ikey. But first, here's Jabbo's fine Lina Blues by the new Black Eagle Jazz Band.
Fortune teller, she can't find out what I'm doing. If I'm messing around, then I'm ruined. She just like Maggie when she get a gin, hit my head with a rolling pin. That's what she thinks about me. Thank you.
Ready Hokum, first recorded by Jabbo Smith's Rhythm Aces, that performance by the original Salty Dogs. And we heard one of the best renditions of Jabbo's popular Lina Blues, sung by cornet player Tony Pringle of the new Black Eagle Jazz Band. This is the second of two programs, Rediscovering Jabbo Smith on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me. On my website, I've got a page dedicated to Jabbo with pictures, audio clips, and a timeline of his life. It's the newly revamped Jazz Rhythm website at jazzhotbigstep.com. Here's one of Jabbo's most obscure records. Rhythm in Spain was recorded as Jabbo Smith and his orchestra in 1938. It's the only session under his own name after the Rhythm Aces, and it was possibly an attempt at a comeback. His chops were certainly still strong and enhanced by greater relaxation and subtlety. I find it interesting that Rhythm in Spain, written by Jabbo, is not really a reference to Spanish music, but to the Civil War then raging in Spain. Listen for the drummer's machine gun and artillery effects. Thank you. Rub Me Some More, released as Lloyd Smith's Gut Bucketeers. Nothing known of Lloyd Smith or that 1930 Chicago session, except that it was Jabbo Smith playing trumpet and singing. I'm Dave Radlauer. You're listening to Rediscovering Jabbo Smith on Jazz Rhythm.